We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's make no mistake about it. This weekend has certainly been different. Man, just your attitude, just the excitement level, the preparation, all those things has been totally different this weekend. And even watching games this weekend, I had a totally different mindset and attitude watching those games this weekend than I did in the past several weeks. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be back. It's exciting to do something that you love. And I'm overly excited for the seniors and the guys that have been in the program for quite a while, because I know they were hurting and I know they were missing it, and it's excited to see the look on those guys' face.
Let's talk process. I asked you this question immediately after games were canceled. I asked you again 2 weeks ago on Monday night. What did you know and when did you know it? How did this all come together from your perspective?
Yeah, obviously, the Friday afternoon, when the announcement, when the decision was made, was it Friday afternoon?
It was Friday afternoon,
yeah. So after that decision was made Friday afternoon, I just wanted to make sure once it became public, I wanted to get the team together as fast as I could on a Zoom call to communicate with them. And, the best part about that was nobody needed to say a word. You could just see the facial expressions. You could see the look in their eyes. You could see the excitement. And it was refreshing, man. And, that was awesome to be able to deliver that news to them. Obviously, some, as fast as social media travels and as fast as word gets out, some of them already knew. But, again, it was still the official, we're back, guys. We're back. And, everything that we have set out to accomplish when the offseason began, it took a little longer than any of us hoped for, but we're here. It's time to start preparing. We know we got 37 days to get ourselves ready for Wednesday night opener.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not counting at all, but, when you start looking at the calendar and etching it out, and today was the first of 37 days, so we got to make the most of all of them. We've had a lot of time away from the field, and there's a lot of work to be done between now and then, and we got to make sure that we make every day count.
Head coach Mike New joins us, Ball State head football coach. If you mentioned social media, if people have been on social media, they've probably seen the picture at this point. Did you put the football helmet on before the Zoom call started or during the Zoom call, telling the guys the season had resumed?
So I had the helmet on, but I didn't have my video on. And so I waited until, typically the way we do the Zoom calls is, when you're talking about 125 guys that are getting on a Zoom call, everybody's got to take role. And so I always get the go ahead. Hey, coach, we're good to go here. Byron usually lets me know, hey, we're good to go. And so when he said we were good to go, I clicked start video, and that's when it came on, and I could just see the laughter, the excitement. It was good to see the looks on some of those faces. So don't really know how that came about. You're in your office and you're thinking like, man, it's so good to be able to put a helmet on. I'm like, well, why don't I put one on?
Quick, somebody grab me Morgan Hagee's helmet.
That's exactly right. So that's how really that all kind of came about quickly there. And, you know, I just, again, like to have fun with the guys. And it was just a good moment there to share. And we finally got a great announcement, and it was good to share that with those guys.
The last 72 hours have meant what? What's happened? What's gone on? What's the scurry been like for you guys? Because you're in one mode, I'm sure, preparing for a spring season. Like, you know you're going to play Eastern Michigan in February. Now you're going to play them in November or December sometime. What changed and what wheels all got set in motion over the last 3 days?
Yeah, well, very quickly after the announcement was made on Friday, we got an email from the conference office telling us that we were allowed to start into 20 hours of CARA starting on Monday. And so once we found that
out. Which is normal for in-season.
Yeah, which is normal for in-season because they got class. So it's not a normal training camp mode. That's not what you could compare it to right now, even though we've been away for so long, you got to go back, okay, well, this is training camp, we're starting. But it's really not because you're in 20 hours of CARA academic responsibility. So once we got that email, it was real quick, okay, what's the schedule going to look like for us? And I know in communicating with Coach Armour and the strength and conditioning staff, if we're going to start on a Wednesday night, we want to quickly get ourselves into a calendar and a weekly schedule that gets our bodies and, you know, gets ourselves ready to play for a Wednesday night matchup. So sure, as quick as we can get to that, we will. We still have to go through the 5-day acclimation period where you get two in helmets, two in uppers, and then we get to full gear on the fifth practice. So we're working through all that right now.
Saturday
is what it is, because today was a walkthrough in helmet. We were out there to count today, and then obviously we'll be on the field tomorrow. We'll be on the field Wednesday. We won't be Thursday, and then we'll be on the field Friday and Saturday, and then they have to have a day off on Sunday. So add it quick, you know, but at the same time, we got to plan accordingly that not everybody's in the same physical condition as they were, so we can't come out and do a ton of running too fast and then have some soft tissue injuries and all those things. So got to be careful on how we get going, and then in saying that, we've all seen how it's, you know, what's taken place the last 2 or 3 weeks. There are certain teams that are without X number of players.
Right.
We got to get everybody prepared to play. That's been my message ever since we got together on Friday night. Every man has to get ready to play. You never know when your number is going to be called. We want to make sure we do a great job of staying at full strength, making good decisions socially, you know, going home after you're at the facility. If you don't have class obligations, stay home, be smart, make great social decisions. But in saying that, everybody's got to be ready to play because you never know when your number is going to be called. And we got to do a great job as a staff training every guy on our roster and making sure every guy gets repetitions in practice.
I was going to say, it's got to be almost like a permanent bye week for you in terms of practice, because when there are bye weeks, a lot of times you'll have live periods, threes versus threes, because you got to get the young guys reps. In a situation like that, Virginia Tech, I think, played without 23 guys on Saturday. Right. That has to happen all the time. Is how you structure practice now going to be fundamentally different? Because as many reps as Drew Plitt needs, right, John Paddock needs as many, and you know, heaven forbid, Eddie Schott needs as many, because right, he could be the starter one day.
Right.
This year.
Look, that's all part of it when you talk about practice. And then even if you don't practice and you're not going to full speed, if you will, walkthroughs are certainly advantageous right now. As many walkthroughs as we can possibly have from a teaching standpoint, it keeps us outside, keeps us out of the meeting space, which, you know, is tough to do when you talk about some of the guidelines that are there, and we can only have X number of people in the room. So we got to have a ton of meetings on the field, if you will. And so as many walkthroughs as we can possibly have to get everybody trained, and even if it's not, you know, a rep that's full speed, we still got to make sure guys know how to get lined up. They know what their assignment are, and they can feel confident when they go out there, hey, man, it's going to be your time. Or, you know, in practice, we've even discussed, hey, just rotate the guys every three. Who cares who ends up being in, you know, with Drew Plitt? Because our job, you know, especially these guys that are seniors and upperclassmen, we got to make sure those young players that haven't played a ton of snaps yet, we got to breathe confidence into them. We got to bring the best out of them to make sure that they're ready, because it's going to happen at some point.
Well, and he has to have a rapport with everyone, and everyone has to have a rapport with him. If he's got a great rapport with Antoine Davis and Justin Hall, but he's never thrown a ton of balls to Justin Campbell, that becomes a problem if half the wide receiver group, again, heaven forbid, gets wiped out, and all of a sudden Campbell's starting at X, and you need guys to know each other.
You know, and again, this is one of those times where, in exactly what you said, that, you know, you got to build a relationship the best you can with everybody. But at the same time, that's a great emphasis to receivers, to tight ends, to running backs, to DBs, to linebackers. You got to be able to line up at all three spots, yeah, all two spots, whatever it is. You never know. And you got to train some guys maybe at the tight end position to play some snaps at wideout. You got to train some guys that, you know, hey, you never know, you know, how you're going to have to manipulate the roster offensively, defensively, special teams. And so, you know, it's a great challenge. But at the same time, you know, in a lot of ways feel fortunate that we got so many guys that have played a lot of ball. We got 23 seniors. We got guys that have been in snaps in a game. They know what it's like, and they know what it's like to practice. And so a lot of these older guys have been awesome because they've been coaches on the field. They've been helping the young guys, and they know that they were in their shoes at one time, and they're in tune with everything going on, that, hey, man, we might need him. You know, he might end up having to play more than we expect him to. So let me do my part to make sure that he's ready to go.
That's the voice of the Ball State head football coach, Mike New, joining us. His team getting the go-ahead to play on Friday, starting with a six-game season. We'll just go ahead and say an eight-game season, knock on every piece of wood around you, starting on November 4th at night, six-game regular season. Bowl games are a thing. We found that out. Congratulations on being bowl eligible, by the way, just by existing. That's new this year, so that's a benefit.
Hey, that's a plus. And so, you know, obviously this team is very motivated right now. And, you know, the sting of the off season, some of the close calls that we had a year ago, it's been a great motivating tool for our guys all off season, even though it's been longer than any of us had wanted it to be.
How do you feel about midweek action kind of making its return? The league's going to play midweek virtually for all of November. Do you like that this league has been famous for carving out that territory, that for whatever reason, that again will be the case this year, and you kind of preserve that hallmark?
You know, I love it, and especially now more than ever, because without knowing exactly what's going to happen, whether we play at home or on the road and who's going to be allowed to attend, I love it for our young men, for their families, for, you know, people from their hometown to be able to see them.
You're going to be the national TV every game.
To be the only show in town, you know, on a midweek deal, I think is awesome. The MAC has made a name for itself, you know, with MACtion, and it's you know, whenever you say that, a lot of people that, you know, certainly are follow football or football junkies, they certainly know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, even talking to NFL general managers or NFL scouts, that's what they live for. They look at that moment, and to be able to go to a game, you know, middle of the week, and if they don't allow that this year, man, they'll be able to watch, yeah. And that'll be awesome exposure for our conference and for our young men.
What do you know about a schedule? And I don't mean like who you play when, but the six games, each division has six teams. So theoretically, would you anticipate you're going to play a round robin through the West, one crossover? Historically, that would be Miami for you guys, because that's the way it works. But I don't know if it's a weird year. What do you anticipate?
Anything.
Okay.
But exactly what you said, I anticipate playing our MAC West schedule like we do. And if you're talking about having one crossover game, it just makes too much sense for us to play Miami. Now, I won't be caught off guard on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day the schedule comes out this week.
When we're at Kent, Buffalo, and Akron.
I'll be honest with you. On Wednesday night, November 4th, I have a logo on the calendar already who I anticipate
really?
That to be. So I'll just leave it at that, and it's not a West opponent. So I'll just leave it at that, where I think that our season will start. But – you know, certainly I won't be caught off guard or won't be caught by surprise, but you definitely think that, okay, we're going to play our teams in the West, right? And then
yeah.
If we have one crossover game, Miami's very close. It's a rivalry. You know, I just think it makes too much sense.
Now, does that mean that you think you're going to play that team on November 4th, or does that mean that you just generally have a disdain for that team and you're looking forward to whenever it is you play them?
Both. You asked me, I'm being honest with you. Yeah, obviously it's a rivalry.
I mean, I knew
there.
The answer and, to the question. I just wanted
you did. You threw it out there, and you know it was a soft toss, and you were just waiting for me to swing at it. No, you know, it's one of those that you know, that's our rival. You know, and obviously when that game is on the schedule, you know, just the tension, the stakes are higher, and you know there's just, you know, respect, but at the same time a little bit of, you know, can't wait to get on the field with that team.
We have not talked a lot about football in our conversations because most of our conversations have been like, so, this virus is a bad deal. I want to ask you some football questions now, though, because that's what you ultimately do. That's what you're geared up for now. I know you have felt that this is the team since you've been here. Why? What do you like about this group, and why does it stand out more so than anyone you've had?
Well, obviously when you start and you talk about building a program, or you start talking about what kind of culture and what kind of environment and what kind of standard that you want to set. And when you talk about having 115 players on a roster and you have 23 guys that have, you know, since day one, you've been here together and you've emphasized the same message over and over and over about how you practice, about how you handle yourself away from the field, about how you take care of business academically, about how important being on time is, how important accountability is. These are the guys that since day one have been breathing, and you know, that same message has been repeated over and over and over. And so now you hear these guys, when young players come in, they're doing the coaching. They're the ones that are emphasizing what it takes in practice, how we go to work, how we handle our business away from the field. And so I just feel like the depth, you know, the leadership, you look at that leadership council, you look at this group of seniors, and I could go right down the line and say, do it like he does. 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 And so, and they've stuck here for a reason. They've stood by each other's side because they believe in each other. And they know that, man, we are at our best. And if we get the depth where it needs to be and we develop some of the younger players that continue to come in, we have championship ingredients here. It's up to us to go on the field and to deliver that. But we've narrowed the gap every year. 2 years ago, you know, you were there, 17, and we took it on the chin. And to recover from some of those games from and build the confidence back, that was hard because you have no question. There was no right. When you leave a game like that at night, you can't help but doubt yourself. You can't help but doubt, hey, man, do we really? But now we've narrowed the gap. You know, when we competed in 18 with about half the teams in the conference, and in 19, it's like, we can compete with anybody.
Yep.
We beat the champion. We had the team that was in the, you know, Central that was in the MAC championship game. So there's no more. We've narrowed that gap. We've narrowed the gap. Now it's time for us to put it all together and play consistent. And so believe in this team because they see that too. And you can tell the confidence. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it when they go to work. You can see it when they come into the building every day.
McAllister's Deli is the host site of Monday Night with the Red and White. We talk with Ball State head football coach Mike New here just off McAllyard. You've got two new coordinators underneath you this year. I want to start on offense. Kevin Lynch takes over. It is the 74th consecutive year that a Lynch has been in charge of the Ball State offense. Who is in charge of the offense, though? What's the picture look like between how the two of you operate back and forth, where play calling duties lie, and how all of those batons are handled?
Yeah, and so obviously I'll be more actively involved every single day and on game day in terms of play calling. Kevin has done a great job because he's grown up. He knows the offense. Obviously he's been coaching the running backs. He's been the recruiting coordinator here. That was his goal. Obviously you want to continue to develop and grow as a coach. Obviously he was anxious for that responsibility. The biggest difference is obviously he coached the running back position. Joey coached quarterback position. But I also, you know, in addition to, you know, I grew up in coaching quarterbacks and all that stuff. So I'll be obviously more hands-on now with the quarterbacks than at any point. And Kevin will still continue to work with the running backs. But the day-to-day responsibilities of putting a script together, making sure the individual periods for offense are where they need to be. Some of those day-to-day duties that are handled by an offensive coordinator, he'll do those, and he does a great job. And he's already done a great job with some of those duties on a day-to-day basis. And so we've been here, and we've been around each other, even though it's been not necessarily in a coordinator and a head coach role. But he gets it. Obviously, his, you know, his brother and being in all those meetings over the years for game planning meetings, for how we go about our business the day after the game, what do we plan out, what's on the agenda for that day, then the next day. And so – you know, he knows those things already, even though he hasn't necessarily been in charge of that. So, you know, and you know, I'm obviously excited to work with a guy, you know, day to day in the meeting room, on the practice field, you know, highly intelligent guy, not just in Kevin, but in a guy like Drew Plitt, too, that you can put so much responsibility on because he can handle it.
This isn't like the exciting football question, but it's more like operationally how regular organizations work. at some point in time, people get promoted and they have to learn how to do that next job. Like, it happens in football. It happens at a school. It happens at a law firm. Like, you don't just walk in the door and start trying murder cases. Like, you have to clerk and all of those things that build your way up. When you look at a guy like Kevin, what's the process for him to say, all right, like, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three, where eventually kind of those reins come off and he can be in a position where, hey, he's calling plays and it's his baby and he's off here and you can kind of do your head coach oversight role and let kind of go of all of those offensive pieces.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of it. You know, I've been very fortunate that part of my background was being in the NFL, and the NFL does such a good job of promoting from within. And so when you have a program, you know, at the college level and you have a staff that you bring in, your goal, my goal, and my job is to make sure and develop and give those guys opportunities to grow so that they can accomplish their goals, so they can have a, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, or there's, you know, somebody that you lose on staff due to a promotion or gets, you know, offered a job that's just simply can't refuse, then you try to grow and promote from within. And I think that creates a healthy environment, healthy culture, when guys know, man, I want to go there because I know I'm going to have an opportunity to grow. I'm going to gain more responsibility. And let's make no mistake about it. This time frame right now is going to force even more so some of the things that you just discussed. There's going to be a point in time in practice here where I say, okay, I might take myself out of practice for COVID, or that period I might take myself out for COVID and he's got to be ready to call it. Or I might just say, this day when we go to practice, you're calling it today, because what happens
Mike Norvell's already missed a game.
What happens if it happens in the game? And so not only will he be ready to go, but then you talk about a guy like Drew Plitt, making sure that, you know, he's in tune, and we give him some packages at the line of scrimmage where he's so sharp and he's such a quick processor that he can handle some of those things. But that's all part of what we're going into right now, and making sure, for lack of a better word, each coach is going to have at least one backup, maybe two, to handle your responsibilities depending on what happens.
Head coach Mike New joining us here, Ball State football Monday night with the red and white. Speaking of Drew Plitt, he's brought an entourage with him.
He's got the big guys with him, smart.
Well, you know, just keep
him
fed.
Got the big guys with him, smart.
defensively, Tyler Stockton, co-defensive coordinator a year ago. He is the defensive coordinator this year. What's different?
Yeah, the body of work that he came in and put on display in a short period of time, we improved 60 yards a game versus the run by focusing on the fundamentals, the details, and really the swagger with which he coaches and what he brings about from our defensive players on the football field. And, you know, he's one of those – I've been fortunate, you know, both here and being around a guy like Rick Minner, and the NFL being around a guy like Greg Williams, who were championship defensive coordinators, and some of those same traits – he reminds me of those guys to a T. And look, you know, Tyler's just at the beginning of his career here.
What
he's
traits?
Got such a bright future. The swagger. When
okay.
you talk about the swagger and you talk about, you know, just his confidence oozes when he walks down the hallway. His swagger when he takes the football field, it oozes. And the way he communicates with the respective guys at each position on defense, and you see those guys, the way they respond to him, it's like, hey, man, he's got these guys locked in, engaged, and, you know, sometimes defensively it still all comes down to getting off a block and making a tackle, no matter how that happens, whether it's a run play, a pass play, a perimeter play, doesn't matter how it happens, it still comes down to that. And the way he goes about attacking that mindset and making sure our guys are bought into that every single day, because we can do those things over and over and over again, and we can do those at a high level, then we can accomplish what we want to. And defense to defense, there's certain things you can do. There's uniqueness that you can bring to certain packages, but at the end of the day, it still comes down to being able to get off a tackle, make a block, or get off a block, make a tackle, and do that repeatedly. And can you get stronger and you be just as consistent as the game goes on, third and fourth quarter, and guys start to play a bunch of plays? So that's what I thought when I see him, and I see him go about his work every day, and the way he communicates and the way he attacks his job, man, just that confidence and the way that permeates throughout our locker room and throughout the defensive guys is fun to see.
On top of that, why are you going to be better on that side of the ball? What tangibly says to you, this group is ready to make that next step forward?
You know, just like I do, we got a significant number of starters returning, but some of the additions that we made to this team up front in the front seven defensively, bringing Chris Ajiman in here, bringing Josh Tarango in here, bringing Anthony Ekpe in here. There's some guys that are going to help bring some added addition to our pass rush. And we got to get after the quarterback. We got to be better getting after the quarterback. And the one thing that really sold me on Tyler Stockton, who was an undersized defensive lineman that came from New Jersey. He was recruited very highly out of high school to Notre Dame. But some of the when you talk about his third down package and you talk about getting pressure on the quarterback and getting pressure with four and five by mixing up some of your rush packages, we got to be able to stunt. We got to be able to twist a little bit. We got to be able to cause some havoc that way and get home. And those are the things when you watch the tape with him and you see that, that's what really sold me on him, because he's a believer now. And some of the guys that we brought in here to help give us a big added boost in that department is what excites me the most.
Head coach Mike New joining us, Ball State Football, Monday night with the Red and White. Before I let you go, just because it's always fun when they're sitting here, say one nice thing about Drew Plitt, Anthony Todd, and Dylan Cook.
Studs. Excited for these guys to see the process through and get a ring on their finger. That's what I'm excited about, because they put the work in. They're great representatives of this university. They're great representatives of our program, and they're great representatives of their hometowns.
Mike, thanks.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.